We are on page 888. We're going to start again from the top of the page. Okay, after the daughters of Tzolofchad's story, and Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu all the laws of inheritance, that if there's no son, the daughters get. We explained last week how it works in Halacha, the way you make it a gift before you die, and so on. Hashem said to Moshe, Alei Halahar or Avorim Hazem, you should go up to the mountain called Har Avorim. And Rashi says, by the way, that this is not that he's supposed to do it now. You know, it's really Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Har Nevi'im right before he died.
Yeah.
Okay, when he went up the day he died, he looked at like it's going to say. Why is this pasuk mentioned here when it's seemingly out of order? So Rashi says, because Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, give them inheritance. He started telling him the laws of inheritance. So Moshe Rabbeinu said, hey, maybe my kids will inherit my job. Moshe Rabbeinu had two sons. Maybe my kids will inherit my greatness. So Hashem said, no. You know, or Hashem said something else. Other people say, that Moshe Rabbeinu thought, okay, maybe God took away the punishment for me, and maybe he'll let me go into Eretz Yisrael. So Hashem said two things. Number one, Har Avorim. And by the way, it's interesting. The mountain is called Har Nevo. So why is it called over here Har Avorim? So the Klei Yoker says, because it refers to, in the laws of inheritance, Vahavarta, pass over, Havarta to the from the sons to the daughter. So therefore over here it's called Har Avorim. Okay? But the Ramban says that it's because it was Aver HaYarden, was on the other side of the Jordan River. So Hashem is basically telling Moshe, you're not going into the other side of the Jordan, you're not going into Eretz Yisrael, you have to go up to the mountain on this side of the Jordan. But the real name of the mountain was Har Nevo. Okay, that was the mountain Moshe Rabbeinu died. And it's interesting, the Gemara says, why is the mountain called Har Nevo? Because Nevo is two words, Nun Bo. Nun is 50th level in it. The Gemara says, there's a pasuk in Tilim that says about Moshe Rabbeinu, Vatechasreo Ma'at Melokim. He was missing a little bit from God. So the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah that Hashem created Chamishim Shari Bina. Hashem created 50 levels of understanding of God in the world. The Gemara continues, says, Kulam nitna l'meisha chaserachas. All of them were given to Moshe minus one. Meaning Moshe Rabbeinu reached the 49th level of Bina of Hashem. And it says a person can't reach in his lifetime this 50th level. When Moshe Rabbeinu passed away, and he was buried in Har Nevo, Nun Bo, it says, when Moshe Rabbeinu passed away, when he died, he reached the 50th level. And therefore, the mountain is called Nevo, Nun Bo, because he reached the 50th level of understanding of godliness. But in this lifetime, Moshe Rabbeinu was only able to reach the 49th level of understanding God.
Oh, but when here, you died, you get the
Moshe Rabbeinu, not when us. When us, when we die, we get the honor of being buried in the ground. Okay. But here it's called Har Avorim.
And nobody's going to kiss us. I mean, everybody. I mean, we're just going to go inside.
We're going to go and they're going to forget about us. When Eyes Oretz and look at the land, Asher Nasati Levnei Yisrael. So Hashem said, I'm going to let you look at it. But I just want to start the next pasuk. V'ra'isa Isa, you should see it. V'nasafta Lamech, and you'll pass to your generation. Meaning you'll pass away. So the commentary says, it says, see the land, and then right away it says Vereisa. What's the double expression over here? See, and then it says you'll see the land. It says already you see the land. What is this double expression of seeing? So the Mefarshim explain that the double expression Vereisa means you will look deeply. In other words, the first time is you'll see the land. Physically, you'll see the land. Then the Torah says, this next pasuk, you will look at it deeply, meaning you will understand the greatness of the land. So the first time is like a superficial looking, and then the second time, v'ri'isa, you'll see it and see in the depth of what Eretz Yisrael is all about. And as we learned before, Moshe Rabbeinu said to God, I want to go to Eretz Yisrael. Hashem said, why do you want to go to Eretz Yisrael? You're interested in the country? So Moshe Rabbeinu said, no, there are many mitzvahs that you can only keep in Eretz Yisrael. So Moshe Rabbeinu said, I want to go in and keep those mitzvahs. Hashem said, you know what? You're not going in, but I'll consider it as if you did the mitzvahs. But Hashem didn't let him go in Eretz Yisrael. Okay, and then he says like this, V'nasavta l'amecha, you will pass. Okay? Gam ata, also you. Not, in other words, Aaron and you. Okay?
Amecha, what mean? Amecha is not it's included, an extract. Included Moshe?
No. V'nasavta l'amecha, it said by all the tzaddikim, it says in Chumash, V'yayosef el amov. They gathered back to where the souls are gathered. By tzaddikim, the Gemara says the expression, it says in the Chumash, V'yayosef el amov. That they, it doesn't say died, it says they were gathered back to the soul, where the place of souls are. That's what it means. But it says, Gam ot to also you, meaning, just like Aaron died, you're going to die. And he said, Kashemes Aaron achicha. Like Aaron died. What do you mean, like Aaron died? We learned before.
Did Hashem kiss Aaron too?
One second. No, he kissed Aaron first. Aaron died first.
He's not saying die.
No, Kashemes. Okay, let me explain. When Aaron passed away, it says, Al pi Hashem. On the mouth of Hashem. Simply means, because God said, die, so he died. The Medrash says, Al pi Hashem, and yet we'll explain what it means. Don't take it literally, trust me. It says, Al pi Hashem, that Hashem kissed him. And that's how Aaron died. When Moshe Rabbeinu saw the way Aaron passed away, Hashem said, go up the mountain, lay down, you lay down, take off your clothes. Very, you know, peaceful. And then Hashem kissed him, and he died. So Moshe Rabbeinu said, wow, if I can only die like that. So over here, when Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, you're going to go up to the mountain, you're going to see Eretz Yisrael, then it says, you're going to die like Aaron died. And that's the way Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to pass away. In fact, Rashi says in Chumash that Miriam also died like that. But it doesn't sound right for Hashem to say he kissed Miriam.
Well, so the because Hashem is male?
I mean, how many times do I have to say the same thing? That God is a white male Ashkenazi? I mean, come on. Write it down. You'll keep it in your notes. Now, what does it mean? Obviously, God doesn't have a mouth. I mean, come on. You got to be realistic over here what goes on. So Chassidus explains what happened over here is like this. Most of the times, it says in Pirkei Avos, Balkor Chachato Chai, Balkor Chachato Mes. You live against, you're born against your will, and you die against your will. Which obviously is a contradiction. If you don't want to be born, then why don't you want to die? I mean, it doesn't work. So the Mefarshim explain what it means is, before Neshama comes into the body, the Neshama is in Gan Eden, having a great time basking in paradise upstairs in Hawaii, in godliness. Shama says, now you're coming to tell me to go into a body with a Yetzirah? I'm not interested in going. I don't want to go. So Shem says, I'm not asking you. You have a mission. You're going to come down in the body. Once the Neshama is in the body, and the Neshama is doing Torah mitzvahs, and it sees in Gan Eden you can't do Torah mitzvahs, only down here in a physical body can you do mitzvahs. So Neshama, after a while, says, you know what? I don't want to leave. Okay? Now, by normal people, I mean, you know, normal Jews, not tzaddikim like Moshe and Aaron, their body hides their godliness, hides their Neshama, they're not on the same level. Moshe and Aaron were so holy that the bodies didn't get in their way. It wasn't like our Yetzer Hara gets in the way of Torah Mitzvahs and our bodies get in the way, you know, our desires and everything. By them, their neshamas were fine in the body. Because by them, they only saw the good of it There was no negative to it, because the body is a negative influence on the neshama. By them, there was no negative influence. So by them, they actually didn't want to leave. How did Hashem get them to leave? What did Hashem do to get them to leave? Hashem had to reveal a tremendous, great level of godliness that inspired them so much that they said, oh wow, this is even better than being in the body. So they left the body. Then, it wasn't that God, and they left. Just like when a person kisses, it displays a stronger feeling of love, of revelation, than otherwise. So what it means that al pi Hashem, that Hashem meis b'neshika, the Rashi says, even tzaddikim die b'neshika, it means Hashem reveals a great level of godliness to the neshama, that the neshama says, wow, this you don't get in the body. So then the neshama agrees to leave the body. And that's how they pass away. They tell about many tzaddikim that said, when they pass away, they're going to refuse to go into Gan Eden until Hashem brings Mashiach. A bunch of tzaddikim were like that. And every time Hashem outsmarted them, by Ditchiva they said that Hashem gave him an Amin Yeshmei Rabba, so right away he jumped out there, you know, Amin Yeshmei Rabba. You know, whatever. But that's what it means, the concept of Mises Neshikin. It's called the death of a kiss. It means Hashem revealed to this neshama in the body such a great level of godliness that you cannot get in the body, so the neshama agreed to go out. So Hashem says to Moshe, you're going to see the land, you're going to see the greatness of the land, and then you're going to go die the same way that Aaron, your brother, died. And he said, why is that not happening any other way? He says, because you rebelled against me. Remember when he hit the rock instead of speaking to the rock? In the desert of Tzin. When the community fought, when you failed to sanctify me in their eyes by speaking to the rock instead of hitting the rock. That is the waters of strife. At Kadesh in Mibetzin. So Hashem basically says to Moshe Rabbeinu, your decree still stays, you're not going into Eretz Yisrael, even though I gave Tzalofchad, you know, Eretz Yisrael, you're not going. Go in up the mountain and take a look of what's going on. Enhance your eyes with the beauty of Eretz Yisrael, but you're not going. And you're going to pass, what?
Was the rock Be'er Miriam?
No.
That he hit?
The first one that he hit created Be'er Miriam. The second one, he also did, because it was after Miriam died. But he could have done it by speaking to the rock. Instead of speaking to the rock, which he did, by the way, it was the wrong rock, whatever, he hit it, and therefore that was his punishment.
Look how easy Hashem punishing the people.
Don't worry, we don't get punished like that. The Gemara says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu medaktik b'tzadikim im k'chut ha-saira. You know, the width of a hair is very small. Hashem is particular with tzaddikim, like sins that the width of a hair, and there's nothing. Because tzaddikim are so holy, every negative thing that they do is punishable greatly. The marshal of this is, when you're wearing dirty clothing around the house, you're painting, you know, you're cleaning, you're doing your pacer cleaning, whatever, and you see some lint on the garment, you don't notice it. It's not noticeable. When you get all dressed up and you take something straight out of the cleaners, and then even a tiny speck, right, a tiny speck of dirt is noticeable. So tzaddikim, because they're so clean and so holy, even a small speck of aveda is for them. But by tzaddikim, it goes something else. By tzaddikim, if they're lacking something, in other words, not that they sin, because Moshe Rabbeinu, if you think about it, we learned this before, when he hit the rock and water came out, that's also sanctifying Hashem's name. But what was the last time he hit a rock and water came out? I mean, it doesn't happen. So he also sanctified Hashem's name. Hashem says to him, you could have sanctified me better, more, by speaking to the rock instead of hitting it. So what did Moshe Rabbeinu do? Instead of sanctifying God 100%, he sanctified God 95%. On a tzaddik's level, that it's so punishable and so terrible that he lost his right to go into Eretz Yisrael, amongst other things also.
I thought speaking ill of Klal Yisrael was a major infraction.
You didn't speak ill about Klal.
Listen, you rebel.
Okay, so some people say that he was included in the Meraglim. I mean, but the final blow was this. Okay. Vayidaber Moshe, now you see what the definition of a leader is. Vayidaber Moshe l'Hashem l'Emir. Moshe Rabbeinu said to God, saying, okay, now this is a very funny expression. First of all, it says, Vayidaber Moshe, not Vayomer Moshe. Before we learned an expression, Vayomer Moshe. Vayidaber Moshe means Moshe Rabbeinu spoke harshly. But the word lamer here doesn't make sense, the commentaries ask. Think about it. Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe, Hashem spoke to Moshe, lamer. What does lamer mean? Repeat it to the others. Right? Hashem spoke to Moshe, lamer, that he should repeat it to the Jews. Here, Moshe Rabbeinu is speaking to God. Who should God repeat this to?
I know.
She said, Vayidaber Moshe Hashem, period. How does the word lamer get? Who is Hashem supposed to be speaking to? So, no, the Rashi says, Amaleyab, Moshe Rabbeinu said to Hashem, he says the closest to the Medrash. Moshe Rabbeinu said to God, I expect an answer from you. Lamer means, not you should tell somebody else. Moshe Rabbeinu says, God, I'm telling you something, I expect an answer. Which is a little chutzpah on Moshe Rabbeinu's part, but this is the definition for the needs of the community. The leaders could be chutzpah dikta Hashem. And that's what it says, Vayidaber Moshe el Hashem lamer. Okay? Yifked Hashem, may Hashem choose, but first he says, Elokei Aruchei Sechobasit, the God of the spirits of all flesh, should choose Ish Aloida, a man in charge of the community. Okay? He says, what is the function? I'm going to learn a bunch of psukim because this is it's a long discussion. Asheyeitze lifneihem, that will go out before them. Vasheyove lifneihem, and come in before them. Vasheyeitzeihem, will bring them out. Vasheyevim, this is just repeating itself seemingly. V'leisiyah das Hashem, and the community of God should not be like a sheep that doesn't have a shepherd. So what's Moshe Rabbeinu telling Hashem? Okay, you're telling me I'm done? Who's the next leader? So the Medrash says, and Rashi quotes this over here, and there's an elaboration on this. First of all, when a person is told by God, your time is coming, so instead of saying, okay, let me watch some more movies and eat some more food.
Sushis.
What does he say? He doesn't care about himself. God, who's going to take over? Who's going to be in charge of the community? Not that she's worth mentioning. I heard many years ago, they asked, and there was a survey on the radio, it was a long time ago, what would you do if you were told you have a half an hour to live? What would you do? So I think it was Madonna, one of those crazy people, said, I would eat a bag of potato chips and watch my famous movie, my favorite movie. That's what they would do if they're about to die. Moshe Rabbeinu, on the other hand, says, Hashem says to him, you're dying. He says, okay, so Tzarchi Tzibu, who's going to be taking over the leadership of the Jewish people? So it says over here, when Moshe Rabbeinu said, Yifked Hashem, Moshe Rabbeinu said to Hashem, okay, now comes the time that my kids should take over. I have sons, I want them to take over my leadership. Amalei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Hashem said, I'm quoting Rashi now. So Hashem said to Moshe, Lekach also b'machshav lefone. This is not what I thought. This is not in the plan. Yeshua, because l'yamish mitecha oil. Yeshua never left Moshe Rabbeinu. He was always with Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu went up on Har Sinai, 40 days. Yeshua was at the bottom of the mountain. He never left. Like it says before, he never left Moshe Rabbeinu. So the commentators discuss, Moshe Rabbeinu comes along and says, okay, God, my kids. Moshe Rabbeinu knew that Yeshua is greater than his kids. He knew that. I mean, no, those kids weren't. We don't find Moshe Rabbeinu's children being very holy tzaddikim. Obviously, they must have been great, if not Moshe Rabbeinu wouldn't said to make them leaders. So some of Farshim learn that Moshe Rabbeinu actually told God, let's have two leaders. Let's have military leaders, political leaders, and then we'll have spiritual leaders. So Moshe Rabbeinu, this is the way the Mefarshim learn, that Moshe Rabbeinu said to God, let's have spiritual and physical. And in fact, that's how the Mefarshim explain. What does it say? Asher yeite lifneihem, v'asher yaveh lifneihem, v'asher yotzeihem, v'asher yaviim. He's repeating the same thing. The one that takes him out and brings him in. Takes him out and brings him in. What's he repeating? One is physical and one is spiritual. The kings, normally by the kings, they're cowards. So normally the kings would send the army and they would be in the back. They didn't want to go first. Jewish kings, the halach is they have to go in front of the front of the war. David HaMelech, when he fought, was in the front, not in the back. Not the cowards. So he says, I want a person, like not like the kings that sit home and they send their soldiers. But like Moshe Rabbeinu said, I did by Sichon and Neig, I fought. And like Yeshua went and fought later on. That's one thing. Then he says, Asher Yitzim, with merits, and bring them back with merits. And another interpretation, Rashi says, that will bring him into Israel, not like me. Moshe Rabbeinu said, if you're pointing another leader, make sure they're the ones that are going to lead the people into Eretz Israel. So basically, you see from here that Moshe Rabbeinu is telling Hashem, let's have two leaders. Political leader, my kids, and spiritual leaders, Yeshua. But, okay. Why did Moshe Rabbeinu, in Pasuk 16, say, Yivkeid Hashem, Elokei Aruch Yisrochol Basar, the God of spirits of all flesh. I mean, he's praising Hashem, but why that praise? So again, Rashi explains it because Hashem says, Moshe Rabbeinu said to God, you know humans. No two people think alike. No two people act alike. No. You need a leader that can handle all of them. You need a leader that can handle all of them. And that's why he said the God of spirits, meaning, like it says, Isha she ruach bay, that he can go keneged ruchei shokol echad ve'echad, that he can go against the knowing every single. I'm going to elaborate on this soon. So let. So that's what he said. That you need a leader that could be, you know, have all this.
Yeshua, what's the relation Yeshua with Moshe? Is it family? What's the relation Yeshua with Moshe? Is it family or
no family? Moshe came from Levi. Yeshua was from Shevet Ephraim. He was his Talmud that never left him. Yeshua never left him. That was the greatness of, and Hashem said to him, "Okay, you can't have two kings. You can't have two rulers. Because in Kedusha, you can't have political versus Torah. It's all one thing." The spiritual leader has to be the physical leader. You can't have two separate things. Because a Jew's physical is really spiritual. By a Jew, their spiritual physical needs is spiritual. In fact, there's an Hasidic expression that says, another Jew's gashmius, another Jew's physical needs, you have to consider them spiritual. In other words, you have a holy responsibility to help out another Jew because another Jew's physical needs is really spiritual, not physical. Okay, so he says like this. They should be with the sheep, not like a sheep that doesn't have a leader. Okay? So, Vayim Hashem al Moshe, Hashem said to Moshe, Kach es Yehoshua ben Nun. Take Yeshua ben Nun. Ish asher ruach bei, a man that has the spirit, v'samachtos yodcho olov, and put your hand, okay, on him. Okay? So that was the concept was called smicha. It's interesting, when Moshe Rabbeinu did it, when it got too soon, it says he put both hands on him. Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, put yotcha olav. And then it says, vayismech es yodov olav. In the next pasuk of Gimel, is that Moshe Rabbeinu put both hands. That means he gave Yeshua more than the way God told him to give it. Okay, now this is just discuss a little bit, because this is very important, especially in the Hasidic world. The definition of a leader, what does it mean? Ish asher ruach bay, a man that has, that's able to go in the spirit of everybody. In halacha things, okay, there's a, I read once an article, a guy wrote the difference between a rov and a rebbe. I mean, one is a nothing and one is super holy. But
that's the rebbe, right?
Yeah. But the in halacha, one size fits all, basically. 10 people will ask a shaila in halacha. It's either kosher or treif. So everybody's going to get the same answer, right? When it comes to soul issues, no two people will get the same answer. Because what's good for you is not good for him, or good for her, it might not be good for her, and good for him is not good for her. And that's why the definition of a leader has to be, as the Ramban writes in this post, Rashi brings it down also, Shayahelech keneged ruchei shokol echad ve'echad. He was able to understand the inner dealings of every individual person, to know what's good for him and what's not good for him. And just to give you a simple example, I mentioned this example in the past, but there was a case that a person was involved in, of a shidduch, that the boy and the girl decided they want to get married, and they wrote this before the Rebbe passed away, the Rebbe was still alive then. It was a long time ago. And they both wrote into the Rebbe that they want to get married to each other. So the way it works is, the boy would write and the girl would write. Okay? And then the Rebbe would answer each one separately. 99.999% of the time, if they wrote in, if the either was answered yes or no. Right? It was either yes or no. But in this case, the boy got an answer yes. And as the boy, yes, I married this girl. And the girl wrote, should I marry this boy? The boy got a yes answer that he should marry the girl, but the girl got a no answer. Listen to this. The girl got a no. I know the names. The Rebbe said to the girl, no. So the boy gets this answer. So the girl said, no. So the boy says, 1 minute, this doesn't make sense. How could the Rebbe tell me yes to marry her, and he's telling her not to marry me? I mean, you know, it takes two to get married. So he wrote into the Rebbe. And he asked the Rebbe, I don't understand. How could you tell me it's good for me and for her it's not good? So the Rebbe answered him, don't you know, this, the Rebbe answered in Hebrew, but the answer is, don't you know that sometimes a shidduch could be good for one side, but not for the other side? In other words, the Rebbe said to him, you asked me, for you, is this girl good? Yes. But she asked me if for her is the boy good. And for that, the answer is no. In other words, the Rebbe said, it's not one answer here. It's two people asking if the person is good for me. So the Rebbe says, for you, it's good. But for you, it's not good. In halacha, it doesn't make sense. Because it's either good for both or not good for both. Because it's still, they're still not going to get married. Because one got an answer, no. Right? So why bother answering the other one, yes? Because in the Shama things, what's good for you is not good for you necessarily. And therefore, by tzaddikim, two people can ask the same exact question to the Rebbe if they should do something. One gets a yes and one gets a no. What does this mean? This is ish asher ruach bay, a person like Moshe Rabbeinu, and he says to pick Yeshua, They have an understanding of each individual person, what's good for that person. How could that be? Because, like Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe Rabbeinu was the first Rebbe. Rebbe, we learned, is Rosh Bnei Yisrael, the head of the Jewish people. It doesn't say the greatest of the Jewish people, it says the head of the Jewish people. The head is the nerve center of the entire body. If there's a pain in the foot, the head feels it. If there's a pain in the stomach, the head feels it. So therefore, the head actually feels the entire body. So the same thing in Bnei Yisrael. The head of the Bnei Yisrael is one, Moshe Rabbeinu Yeshua, that actually felt the neshama of every single Jew, and therefore they knew what's good for them and what's not good for them. How do they do it? That's not my business. But that's what it means.
Did they get married?
Huh?
Did they get married?
Who?
Those two people. The good people.
Yeah, they both got married to separate people.
Separate people.
They didn't marry themselves.
So they have, the leader should have Nevi'ah or some power of Nevi'ah?
There is that level of greatness that they need. That's the Moshe Rabbeinu Yeshua. That's what he says. Take Yeshua bin Nun, the man that has the spirit of Keneged Ruach Shekol Echad Ve'Echad, and like Rashi says, that Hashem wanted him to do it now during Moshe Rabbeinu's lifetime. Because otherwise people would say, in Moshe Rabbeinu's time he was a nothing, how is he going to lead us now? So Hashem already is giving him the power to do what he needs to be doing. Okay. Okay, passing your test. V'amara ta'isei, and stand them up before Elazar HaKohen, v'lefnei kol ha'edom, and before the entire community. Okay? V'tzivisa eisei le'ineyem, and command the Jewish people in front of their eyes. And in other words, like it says, tell them that the people can be troublesome and stubborn, and that he must accept their shortcomings. One of the greatnesses that a person can have is very important in relationships. It's to accept the other person's shortcomings, the other person's faults. In other words, what he's telling him is you need to be tolerant of everybody's mishigasim. You need to be able to handle everybody. And you have to know people have minus, people have greatnesses, they have advantages, they have disadvantages, they have good qualities, bad qualities. You need to accept the person for what they are. And that is the definition of a leader. And to bring out the best that each person has, that the good outshines the bad. That's what any true leader, by the way, and a true leader, like they used to say in the middle of this year, buy low and sell high. The definition of any true leader, and by the way, a leader means a teacher, a parent, an educator, is one that knows the person's greatness and weakness, and accentuate the positive, emphasize the good, bring out the good, and know how to deal with the bad. That the teacher, good teacher, is one that knows how to bring the good qualities of every single kid, because every single kid is different. And the same thing, a parent, no matter how many kids you have, everybody knows no two kids are alike. So therefore, you need to deal with each kid individually and bring out their good qualities and deal with the negative qualities. And that's what the definition of a good parent is. And that's the definition of a good leader. One that knows how to deal and bring out the good of everybody. And that's what Hashem is telling Moshe Rabbeinu. This is what you're picking as Yeshua. He's the guy that fits the mold for what you need. V'nasata meheitcha alav, and as the simple meaning of the pasuk is, take some of your majesty, of your greatness, and give it to him. L'man yishmu kol adas b'nei Yisrael, that they should also hear, meaning they should also give him respect. From here the Gemara learns out, which is the famous Gemara, that Moshe was like the sun, S-U-N, and Yeshua was like the moon. Because what did Hashem tell Moshe? Give mehaitcha. It didn't say give him your glory. Give him from your glory, but not all your glory. Because Moshe Rabbeinu was still greater than Yeshua. Moshe Rabbeinu was the sun, Yeshua is the moon. The moon is the receiver of the sun, because it gets the light from what the sun gives it. So Yeshua obviously was not as great as Moshe Rabbeinu, but he was plenty great. And that's what Hashem told him to do. But if Mei Elazar HaKohen Yamed, and he should stand him up in the presence of Elazar HaKohen, V'shalei B'mishpat Urim, and he should inquire for him in the Urim V'tumim, Al Piv Yetzu, on his mouth, so they go out to war, Al Piv Yaveyu, and on his mouth they will come from war, meaning, like Rashi says, when they ask if they should go to war or not, he should ask Elazar HaKohen with the Urim V'tumim, and the people should listen to him, Hu V'chol B'nei Yisrael, Itei V'chol Oed, and the whole community. Okay, so Moshe Rabbeinu, before he dies, instead of dealing with himself, is telling Hashem, we need a leader. And Hashem defines, in this pasuk, what a leader is. What does this mean for us? We're not the Yeshuas and we're not Moshe's. But every Jew is a leader. Whether it's in the neighborhood, a community, in your house, in over yourself. Every Jew is a leader. So it's like they say in America that the president is a president over Congress. In Israel, the guy is a prime minister over 120 ministers. It's a much harder job to be a minister over ministers. Like everybody knows, the most difficult crowd to speak to is rabbis. The crowd of rabbis is the worst crowd ever to speak to. So it's a person's definition of a leader is that understands every situation is different. Every person is different, every situation is different, every whatever it is different, and you need to understand each person what is good for them at that particular time. What's good for this kid, it might not be good for this kid. What's good for this student is not necessarily good for this student. What's good for this person is not good for that person. One of the worst things spouses and parents, one of the many, many things that they make a mistake in, a lot of times parent tells a kid, why can't you be like your brother? You know, why can't you be like your sister? That's very detrimental. Besides the fact of being very stupid, by the way. The reason why you can't be like your brother, because I am not my brother, I am me. Why can't you be like your brother? Because I'm not my brother, I'm me. The parent has to say, why can't you be what me could be? What, in other words, you could be. Like Reb Zusha Anapoli. He once said, when I come up after, he's a student of the Maggid, a good friend of the Alter Rebbe. He said that when I come up after 120 years, they're not going to beat me up why I wasn't my Rebbe the Maggid. He said, how could I be my Rebbe the Maggid? What are they going to beat me up? Reb Zusha said, they're going to beat me up why I wasn't Zusha. Mm-hmm. Why I wasn't what I could be. And the same thing, many spouses say to, why can't you be like that guy? Why can't you be like that woman? It's a stupid statement I mean you could ever say. Because he's not that guy, and she's not that guy, that lady. I mean, she is she, and he is he. You know what I mean? So that's the definition of trying to find what a leader is for every single Jew.
No comparison.
No comparison. No, because every case is different. And that's the definition of a leader. He knows what's good for you, and what's good for you, and what's good for you. In fact, there's an interesting story. The Rebbe Marash, when he had Yechidus, when people came to him, he used to sweat a lot. He used to get very tired. So they asked him why. So he said like this. When a person comes into me, and this also defines a leader, that's in a broad sense, but on every person's level. He said, when a person comes into me with a problem, in order for me to answer that person's problem, I have to put myself into that person. The definition of a good teacher is one who knows how to think like the students think. Because then you can teach it because you know how the students think. If you're going to talk at the teacher's level, you're a fool. Right? A good teacher, by the way, is one that knows how do the students think. And that's the way they teach. Right? In school. That's the way a good teacher knows the way the kids think, and therefore they can explain it on that level. So, So, when you need to teach. And so the Rebbe Merash said like this, when somebody comes into me with a problem, in order for me to understand the problem, I have to feel it. So my soul has to go into them. I actually have to dress myself into them. Then when they walk out, I have to undress myself from them, and then I have to dress myself into the next person that walks in. Then I can go on 100 times a night. He's undressing and dressing spiritually, which is also work. It's much harder than physical work many times. Mental fatigue. He says the difficulty of it is because in order to help him, I have to put myself into him. In order to help her, I have to put myself into her. Then when they leave, the next person's coming in. I have to go out of them and go into the new one. And that's very difficult to do. And they have to find it, by the way, within themselves. There's a story with the Tzemach Tzedek. He was once having an audience. A lot of people were coming in. And in the middle of the night, he stopped. As he said, I'm done. And there's a whole long line of people waiting. He just closed the door. He said, I'm done. So one of his children, I think it was the Maril, his oldest son, went into him and said, so he comes into the room finally. He knocks on the door. He walks in. He sees his father, the Tzemach Tzedek, saying Tillim and crying. So he says to his father, father, there's a long line of people waiting for you. Why are you, what are you doing? It's not Yom Kippur now. Why are you saying Tillim crying when there's a whole line of people waiting to see you? So the Tzemach Tzedek said to him like this. When people come into me with spiritual problems, in order for me to help them, I need to relate to it. So what I need to do is find within myself, similar to what we just said with the Rebbe Merash, I need to find within myself, even a very refined way, a connection to their sin. Not in a coarse sin, but in a very refined way, I need to find a connection to that sin, because if I'm connected to it, I can guide them and help them. He said, tonight, somebody came into me with such an awful, awful sin, I looked into myself and I couldn't find it. Even in the most refined way. What bothered me? The fact that the person came in to me with that issue shows I have it. Because if not, he wouldn't have come into me. And when I looked and I couldn't find it, what bothered me is I have a level of evil within me that I'm unaware of. And that's why I took the Tillim and started saying Tillim. So the son said to the father, very good, say the Tillim, close the Tillim, and people are waiting for you. So he started the Yechidus again. And said, but this is the definition of a leader. In order to help somebody, you have to put yourself in their situation to understand the way they're feeling, and then you can help them. And that's what Hashem is telling Moshe Rabbeinu. That was what Yeshua was all about. Isha Sheruach Bei, that understands the nuances, the ideas, the mindset of every single Jew. Okay. Vayas Moshe Pasuk Beis. 890. Yas Meisha Meisha Beinu did Kasher tziva Hashem Eisei, as Hashem commanded him. Ve'yikach ev Yehoshua, he took Yehoshua. Ve'amideu lefnei Elazar HaKoyen, and he stood him up before Elazar HaKoyen, lefnei kol ha'eda, in front of the whole community, that everybody should see exactly what Hashem, that Hashem is picking Yeshua. Ve'yismech es yadav olav, and here you see, it says in the pasuk, Meshe Rabbeinu put his hands. Hashem said, put your yadcha, your one hand. Meshe Rabbeinu gave it with everything he got. He put both hands, and he commanded him, Kasher tziva, Kasher dibur Hashem b'yam Meshe, like Hashem spoke through Meshe. So this is the anointing of the new leader. Okay, this is, now the pasuk continues. Okay, now starts the next. By the way, this is what we learn on Rosh Chodesh. This is what we learn on all the Chagim for Maftir. Now he's going to be discussing the Karbanos Musaf. What we read in Rosh Chodesh and Yom Tov, I mean, all the Shabbos. But he's discussing not the daily Karbanos, he's discussing the Musaf Karbanos, the additional Karbanos that were brought, Shabbos, Rosh Chodesh, the Chagim, and so on and so forth.
Why they bring it here, I know. Why they bring it in this parasha? What's the relationship?
So Rashi says, what's the connection between this and that? So it says, when Moshe Rabbeinu asked Hashem to appoint a new leader, okay? Just like you're asking me about my children, why don't you ask my children about me? Meaning, I don't want them to pick a new leader either, a guy who were called idols. So Hashem said to the concept of Korbanos. In other words, Hashem says, just like you want me to worry about your kids, I want you to worry about me.
Oh,
the return.
Interesting.
That's what Rashi says.
Interesting.
Before it says, Yivkira, Amle HaKadosh Baruch, Asha to Metzaveni al Banai, Tzave is Banai Olai, commanded people for me. Like a Bas Melech that was dying, and she told her husband how to deal with the kids. So in other words, Hashem is telling Meshe Rabbeinu, I need you to bring the Korbanos. And now we're going to learn the Korbanos. I mean, we just started today, but there's a... Eidav Hashem o Meshe Leimer. Tzavis B'nai Yisrael, command the Jewish people, V'amarta Aleihem, and tell them the following. As Korban Ilachmi Le'ishai, okay, there's another thing over here that the Mefarshim say, that Rabbeinu Bechaya says, in Meshe Rabbeinu's time, they didn't have to bring these Korbanos. Why? Because Meshe Rabbeinu's merit was enough to protect the Jewish people. Now that Meshe Rabbeinu, there's another reason. Rashi doesn't say it, but Rabbeinu Bechaya says this. Rashi says the reason is, just like you're commanding me, I'm commanding you. Rabbeinu Bechaya says, because Hashem has telling Meshe Rabbeinu like this. As long as you are alive, your merit saved the Jews from sacrifices. They didn't need them. Now that you're dying, they need additional sacrifices to make sure they keep connected.
They make it the bond more stronger.
Right.
That's the reason.
Correct. Okay, what does he want? As Karbani Lachmi Le'ishai, okay, my Karban, my offering, my food for the fires. Now here he's starting off by talking about the Korban Tamid, not the Musaf, even though most of the parsha goes with the Korban Musaf. Every day they brought two Korbanos in the morning, during the day. There was a Tamid Shel Shachar and Tamid Shel Bein Arbayim, which was one of the reasons why we daven Shachris and we daven Mincha. Because they brought a morning Korban to forgive for all the sins of the night. We brought the afternoon Korban to forgive all the sins of the day. Okay, that was the Korbanos that they brought. This that we daven Maariv, which many years ago was, according to one opinion, the Gemara, optional, not mandatory. And the reason for that is, why do we daven Ma'ariv? Because the leftover karbonis that they didn't have a chance to burn during the day, they would burn it at night.
And do we have to daven for that?
Yeah, have to daven for that. In fact, nowadays, Taisa says, everybody accepted Ma'ariv as an obligation anyway. And secondly, Taisa says, Yaakov Avinu made, last week's Pasha, right? Yaakov dream was he instituted Tfilas Arvis. Thirdly, according to Kabbalah and Chassidus, the fact that Ma'ariv is optional means that it's greater than the mandatory ones. Because it's so great, you can't make it mandatory. It's too great to make mandatory. But that's why, I don't know how much the women are going to know this, the reason why there's no repetition of the Amida at Ma'ariv, at Arvis, by Shachar Simincha, the Chazan repeats. So the reason that the repetition is because in the old times they didn't have Siddurim. And people were illiterate. And they couldn't read even if they had a Siddur. So, and then many people did not have Daven by heart. So the Chazan would repeat the Amida, and they would listen carefully and answer Amen. And that was considered as if they prayed. But because Arvis was optional anyway, so there was no need to repeat it, because if they didn't do it, they didn't do it, it didn't matter. And that because of that, the custom stayed that Shachar Semincha the Chazan repeats, and Arvis the Chazan does not repeat. Because there's no need, even if... But the bottom line is, Shachar Semincha and Arvis corresponds with two things. Avram instituted Shachris, Vayashkim Avram Babaker. He woke up in the morning and he davened. Yitzchok went Lasuch HaSodah Lifnis Orev. Yitzchok made the afternoon Mincha. And Yaakov Avinu, Vayacholem in the dream, Valaylohu, made up Arvis. It says in Svarim, interesting thing, the second letter of Avraham is Beis. Right, the second letter of Avraham is Beis, it stands for Boker, morning. The second letter of Yitzchok is a tzaddik, that stands for tzaharayim, afternoon. And the second letter of Yaakov is na'ayin, which is arvis. So it's even alluded to in the name that the second letter of Avram is Baker and tzaharayim and arvis. So they instituted Shachris Minchamayim. In the time of the Beis HaMikdash, davening was not as mandatory as it is today. In fact, most of the people didn't necessarily daven Shachris Mincha Ma'ariv. They davened something, but not necessarily like we have today, because the Karban was instead of davening. Or rather, now that we have no Beis HaMikdash, davening is instead of Karbanis. Davening is instead of the sacrifices. So instead of bringing the sacrifices, nowadays we daven instead. But that's what he says now. Now, what does it mean, the korban ilachmi, my bread? It says, the korban refers to the blood, Rashi says, lachmi refers to the limbs, li'ishai, for my fire, means to put it on the mizbeach, the fire, and tishmu, that you should have the kohenim, levim, and yisraelim standing there. Now, what does this mean, the bread of Hashem? It's a very funny expression to say God eats the sacrifices. In fact, the Gemara uses the expression, when the Mizbeach burns, say God is eating it. Well, Reach Nicheach, we'll see later what that means. Reach Nicheach means the good smell. That what? By the way, you ever taste burnt animal hides? Very icky. Bones and blood and all that, it's really awful. But it says that God said, what's the good smell? Shamarti v'nasar etzeni. I said, and they listened to me. God said, and they listened to me. But that is the bread of God that the Jew feeds God with. And it's really very late, so I'm just going to say it in one line, and next time we'll continue. Food... In order to keep the soul in the body, you got to eat. Right? In order for God to stay in the world, you need sacrifices. Without sacrifices, just like you don't eat, the soul eventually is going to die, leave the body. Without the merit of sacrifices, God is going to leave the world. What keeps God in the world? The fact of kabbonis that we do it and
that's
and
a davening.
Huh?
That's a davening.
That's davening, which is today instead of kabbonis. We feed God.
Yep.
The better we daven, the fatter he gets.
That's another problem.
No, that means the more Hashem gives into the world.
His presence around us.
Yeah.